From the flatulence and broadcasting hole in the middle of New York City, it's the Rich Flemball Show.
Hello, folks. Good day. The voice of reason and ethics in an unreasonable and amoral age, me, Rich Flemball, coming to you live from the FIB booth far below the streets of New York City. The number that you can call in, we will be taking callers, of course, because those of you who would love to talk to me, Rich Flemball, the wonderful, brilliant Rich Flemball, the number that you can reach me at is 974-2535. That's 974-2535. We're looking forward to hearing from you. I'm reading the New York Times this morning, as I do every morning, along with several other papers and magazines, digesting them and regurgitating them here for you so you won't have to do it. But I'm reading the New York Times this morning, and I'll tell you people, sometimes... Oh, geez. Sometimes what you read makes you just want to bust a kidney. There's an editorial in today's New York Times which will just make you ill. Literally ill. Now, I'm sure you've heard, you've all heard by now about the wilding in Central Park, where rampaging savages repeatedly raped and left for dead a young white female jogger after beating her in the head with a pipe. And I'm sure you know by now about the case in Houston, where gang members in a heat after an initiation ceremony where they beat each other senseless were stumbled upon by two young women going to a pool party, whereupon the gangbangers raped them and murdered them, strangling them with shoelaces and standing on their necks to make sure they were dead. And by the way, speaking of pools, I'm sure you've heard about the new sport here in New York. It's called whirlpooling, where groups of 13 to 15-year-old thugs surround young women in the public pools of New York, girls who are just reaching puberty and showing the buds and flush of that heady awakening nature gives us. These young men surround them, and at the cry of one of the savages, they pull at or pull off the young girl's bathing suit, as it were, and proceed to fondle her, as is their wont. Now, I'm sorry to dwell on the details here, people, but you have to know the truth. You have to know what's going on to make a rational decision. And that's why I'm here, to help you come to that rational decision. Well, Anthony Lewis, in an editorial in today's New York Times, thinks he knows what's going on with today's inner city youth. He writes, "The problems of young inner city black males extend from the lack of the very things which should help them, jobs and education. Where hopelessness breeds, so does contempt for even having been born. And when your life is useless, so are the lives of those around you." Further down, he says, "This does not excuse the crimes, but it perhaps leads us to a solution." And on and on and on in the same vein. Well, I mean, of course, that's the liberal response. Let's just throw some money at it. Let's care about these criminals and everything will get better. But this is not about lack of education or jobs. Now, if you listened closely, all those attacks were these young savages against women. And it gets us back to a fundamental problem with liberalism. And I've been telling you this, people, you people this. The reason young women are being attacked so brutally is a precise outgrowth of the feminist movement. That's right. Gasp or guffaw if you want to, but if it hadn't been for the cry of equal rights on the part of women, we would not be seeing all these horrible crimes occurring. Now, I see lumbago in the booth grimacing. Wipe that look off your face, lumbago. Listen to my logic here. Women want to be treated the same as men. They don't want doors held for them. They get offended if you stand when they come to the table. They want to do the same jobs as men. They don't want to be placed on a pedestal. Women want to control their own sexuality. They don't like to be looked at and complimented on their looks. Women used to hold a place of honor in this society as the ones who continued the species as nurturers and caregivers. But now, With the rise of abortion rights and equal rights, we no longer see women that way. We view them as competitors, as victors in many cases, due simply to affirmative action laws. And this trickles into society as a disrespect of all aspects of womanhood, including sexuality and life itself. So, when you read prize-winning, bleeding-heart editorialist Anthony Lewis saying crimes against women mean the perpetrators need some kind of help and care, or that inner-city youths who may one day become criminals need more education and job programs to make them respect life, and more specifically, the lives of women, just laugh at Mr. Lewis, who has written oh so eloquently about equal rights and the right to abortion. Okay, and just to remind you, the phone number that you can call in is 974-2535. Time for a sexual harassment in the workplace update.
Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to know. Putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I'm with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed?
F-I-B.
Things I'm learning about you day by.
The news this week comes from Skokie, Illinois, a fine town. Why, I remember marching through the streets there, waving at the folks. But at a Bob's Big Boy in downtown Skokie, a female employee is suing her manager for sexual harassment. That's right, folks, sexual harassment. The employee, Joyce Robertson, alleges her manager walked around with his pants fly unzipped and his, well, shall we call it, tumescent protuberance? We shall call it the tumescent protuberance. And apparently it was showing. He yelled, according to Miss Robertson, "Touch it! Touch it! Soothe it! Soothe it!" Well, the manager, Dwayne Clare, claims in his defense he had been relieving himself in the men's room and had gotten his zipper stuck on the offending organ. Now, in pain, he left the men's room and went into the kitchen to get someone to help him. The only available employee was Ms. Robertson, who, Claire says, is quite attractive, and the combination of his pain, embarrassment, and joy at seeing Ms. Robertson caused his protruding condition. Ms. Robertson alleges she saw no pain, only arousal. Here we go again, folks. This whole post-Anita Hill syndrome of even the most innocent of circumstances being construed as sexual harassment. And once again, it's some hysterical minimum wage employee testifying against her supervisor. The manager did not... What was that, Lumbago? I know. Now, once again, as I said, it's just some hysterical minimum wage employee. Now, I should point out, the manager did not threaten to fire Ms. Robertson if she did not touch or soothe him. He simply asked for a relief to his pain. Well, let me put this in perspective for you people. Now, suppose I didn't want to wear pants today. I'm on the radio. It's summertime. It's hot. My thighs shape. In fact, I'm taking them off right now. I'm taking my pants off right now. There. There we go. I'm pantsless. Okay. So, I'm sitting here with no pants on. And I decide, hell, this is a lunchtime show. And I send out my assistant, Barbie, to get some Chinese food for me. Now, I'm behind the desk when I order. She can't see me. But when she brings the Chinese food back, I stand up to thank her. She's shocked. But is this sexual harassment? I think not. Now, suppose I once again notice how nubile and feminine Barbie looks with the sweat glistening on her chest just above her breasts, and my protuberance naturally does what it will. Should she be offended? Should she file suit? Should she telephone the newspapers and the EEOC? No, of course not. Barbie should take it as a compliment that I involuntarily stand at attention for her. I, being a healthy, virile male, just doing what comes naturally. And the feminazis who would cry foul and yell, "No, Rich, you cannot approach your female employees with no pants on," had better take a page from their own pro-choice tactics. It's my pants. It's my body. I can do what I want with it. Damned be the consequences. Hey, Lumbago, send Barbie out for some chinks. Hey, give me those pants back, Lumbago. Lumbago.
Getting to know.
Now, we will take your calls. I'll remind you, the number is
Lumbago tells me we have a caller, a Percy from North Atlanta. Hello?
That's right. Mr. Flambeau?
Yes.
I'm glad I was able to kiss you through. I've been a fan of yours since you were the voice of the Durham Bulls.
Yes.
Do you remember those days when you used to give steaks out at the show and so on?
Yes. Of course.
You gave me a steak once and it had a big old bone in the middle. Remember that?
Yes, many steaks were handed out, of course.
Anyway. I was just wondering, I'm a student here at Emory University in Atlanta, and I'm doing a sociological thesis on great men who are extroverted, much like yourself.
Great men. Well, you've called the right place, Percy.
Well, I knew I was making a very worthwhile phone call. Anyway, I was just wondering, part of my research involves questioning these great men on their relationships to their mothers.
Yes.
Could you tell me about your mother and how she nurtured you?
Well, let me tell you, Percy. Let me tell you, Percy. That's interesting. Of course, I was, of course, well nurtured by my mother. A goddess. That's the only way I could put it.
Were you coddled by that
I'm
goddess?
I'm sure. Excuse me.
Were you coddled by that goddess?
Coddled by that goddess. She was my mother. There was a certain amount of coddling involved, I'm sure.
And how long did these go on? I mean, I found that most of the great men that I've studied...
Let me throw this back at you. What other great men have you studied? I'd like to see what pool I have been thrown into.
Well, I've been trying to get a hold of Mr. Reagan.
Mr. Reagan, a fine man. Just try calling him out at the ranch.
Yes, and he keeps on changing the number on me and so on, and he keeps confusing his mothers and such. But I found that most of the great men that I studied were cuddled well into their early adolescence, the latest being 15 years old. I'm just wondering if this would also...
Yeah, what's your point, Percy?
Pardon me?
What's your point?
Well, I'm wondering if this also holds true for you.
Cuddled well into my 30s. Well, I think that there's I would have to say that your coddling goes on always. I mean, it's your mother.
That's true. It's perpetual coddling.
Let me ask you. Is there a certain amount of coddling? Has there been any coddling going on between you and your mother?
Oh, good gracious, yes. I'm soon to make my breakthrough in the Emory radio station myself. I'm using you as my model.
Well, that's you've picked a fine model.
And I'm glad that also that you're removing your pants on the air. It's high time that this be done. I mean, the pants are such a useless thing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because it really, let's face it, it was totally inspirational, because I'm an inspirational guy. That's why I have the number one radio show on the air.
Certainly, and I just one more question before I let you go back and resume your show.
Yes.
I noticed that you're a heavyset man. I like to think
full figured is a good term.
Voluptuous, perhaps.
Well, what are you getting at there, Percy?
I'm just wondering, did you eat out, or did you have primarily mother-cooked food as a child?
It was a combination of both. I normally take 6 meals a day,
Is that before or after coddling?
It was before or after what? I'm sorry, I missed that word there, Percy.
Before or after the coddling?
After the coddling. Well, actually, before, during, and after the coddling. Percy, I feel like you're insinuating something here.
Perhaps you are using
coddling in a negative connotation. That's is this true? Am I reading you correctly?
I'm sorry.
Am I understanding you correctly? Are you perhaps putting coddling in a negative connotation?
Oh, good gracious sakes, Bill! If you knew me, just ask any of my friends. I am the highest advocate of coddling.
A big coddler, huh?
I'm a heavy, heavy coddler.
Now, is that coddling of both your male and female friends?
Oh, certainly not. I there's one coddler in my life, and that's my mother. That coddling is a sanctified thing for me.
Do you get out of the house much, Percy?
Well, it depends on what you mean.
Do you still live with your mother?
I take walks through the garden every now and again. But the sun just has ravaged.
You take walks with the garden or in the garden?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Is it walks in the garden? Did you say you take walks
primarily
in the garden?
Primarily, yes.
Well, this has been fascinating, very fascinating. And
just one more request. I know that you're not a big fan of Robert Bly, nor am I. I do not care for his politics one bit. But there's one thing that he has taught me that helps me fight this liberal leftist scourge, and that's to go ahead and cry. Would you cry with me, please?
Would I cry with you?
Would you cry? Would you weep with me? I would feel
so
honored.
You must have me confused with President Rodham Clinton. He's the crier. He's the one who wants to share.
That's not true. Please, I'd be so happy. Then I'll leave you alone forever, and you'll never see me in your driveway again.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen you yet, so... Percy, it was really, really, I certainly appreciate the call, and we're going to move on.
Well, thank you very much. Good night.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
We have another caller. It's Derek from Knoxville. Sorry for the short break there, Derek, but I was wolfing down some Chinese food from the Wee Chow down. Derek, hello.
Hello, Mr. Flemball.
Yes.
Hi, this is Derek Whitaker, Radio Free Theater. I was just calling. I can't express the outrage.
Outrage?
Yes, Mr. Flemball, at you, my friend.
Excuse me, did I hear something in the background?
You didn't hear something, you heard someone in the background, crying.
Excuse me, are you calling from the farm? It sounds like squealing back there. What?
That is a very intelligent female friend of mine who is calling you for the pig that you are.
Pig, did you say?
That would be pig with a capital P.
Well, obviously, Derek, you're having to stoop to the old favorite move of the liberals, is attacking me by comparing me to one farm animal or another. But what's your point, sir?
Well, my point is, there's one thing worse than I think, and I keep hearing people crying about leftist liberals, and I think there's only one thing that's worse, and that's a radical right-winger, and I think
radical
that's what you are, my friend.
A radical
and,
right-winger?
Right-winger.
What could possibly give you that impression?
That laugh, for one, and the fact that you don't wear pants, I find that very unsettling, Rich.
But why would that be, Derek?
You don't want to know. You seem to have so many meaningless, empty catchphrases, and you don't really have anything to say.
Let me interrupt you just for a second here,
yeah.
Dan. Let me just interrupt you for a second. Now, meaningless catchphrases. See, now here is the prime example of what I am constantly talking about, and that is that people call in, they throw out these platitudes without any kind of support. Now, if you're going to accuse me of meaningless catchphrases, perhaps you'd like to make an example of one, for instance. Because honestly, I believe that everything I say has meaning, good meaning.
What is that whole dittos thing, Rich? I don't get that. That's a catchphrase.
All right. That's a good question. I normally don't like to fall back in the explanation of that, but when we first began the show a number of years ago, people would call in on the air, and they would begin to talk about how wonderful I was and how intelligent and well-read
that,
and fabulous and how good I looked without pants in the studio. But what I had to do so that the show wouldn't run on for 12 hours is just to tell people, if you just love the show, just say ditto. And that means ditto, we love the show, and there it is. There's the explanation for both you, Derek, and, of course, all the listening audiences and those who are new to the Rich Flemball Show.
Well, you won't be hearing the D word for me, my friend. I just basically have to say...
You won't be hearing the D word. That would be the ditto word.
That would be the
so, D word. So, in other words, what you're saying, what you're getting at here is that you're not a big supporter of the Rich Flemball Show.
I'm not a big supporter.
And yet, you obviously must be listening because you called in. Am I right, Lumbago?
Well, I listen to Radio Free Theater every week because
yes.
they have very high standards, and I'm rather disappointed in this week's show.
Well, we're moving into many markets with the Rich Flemball Show because it's all in our quest to help educate the masses.
Well, I'm sure the phone lines are twinkling, and I probably need to move along here. I need to get my agent on the phone and find out what the heck I'm doing associated with. With you, Lee Papa.
Agent. So, agent, you must be one of those Hollywood types.
I'm a porn star, Rich. Perhaps you've seen my work.
No, I don't think so. A porn star?
It's a viable medium. I think it's a very valid art form.
So, in other words, you're one of those liberal artists calling in to call me names. Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with art. In closing, I would just like to say...
Closing is the key word, I hope.
That would be it, Rich. That you have so many things to say, and you don't really seem to do anything. If I had a question for you, it's stop talking about it and do something about it.
Thank you very much, Derek. I'd love to keep talking with you, honestly, but the mushy pork is getting cold.
I'm sure it is, Rich.
Thank you very much for calling in, Derek. All right, we're going to move on to our next update. Philip, it's time. It's time for a Racism in America update.
Red roses too, I see them blue, for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. See skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by, I see friends.
All right, once again, this is Rich Flembaugh coming to you live from the FIB booth far below the streets of New York. And that phone number is 974-2535. Now, as I said, it's time for a Racism in America update in Los Angeles. FBI agents arrested 8 members of a white supremacist skinhead organization. They're charged with plotting to bomb the African Methodist Church of Los Angeles and assassinating Rodney King and other prominent blacks. Their hopes were that they would touch off a race war. When they were arrested, the apartments of the skinheads were found to contain the makings for the bomb as well as numerous guns. Now, neither this show nor I, Rich Flembaugh, condone any sort of violence or white supremacist organizations. But let's put this in perspective, folks. These young white males would not have been arrested because they would not have thought up this plot if it wasn't for the failed Great Society programs of the 60s or the currently failing affirmative action programs. They're frustrated. They're feeling shut out. They believe the doors of opportunity have been slammed in their faces. And look at where they live, in a white, middle-class neighborhood in L.A. where every day people have to wonder if riots will begin again in Watts or South Central and spread to their community as more and more jobs go to blacks and Latinos and Asians. Of course, the level of anger in young white males is going to rise. They look at the future and see nothing but unemployment and despair. Now, as I've said to you folks, this is the fault of the liberal policies of this administration and of this Congress. Skinheads are the bellwether of wider spread ills to come, and it's time we take heed. Let me put it this way. Suppose I have a white dog and a black dog. The white dog was raised in a good house with a loving family. He only had to give it up because President Rodham Clinton and Congress passed a dog tax, and they couldn't afford it. The black dog was mistreated and abused for its whole life until its family finally threw it out of the car, and I picked it up. I coddle the black dog. I give it love and attention and food and treats and a special bed. Eventually, that white dog is going to think, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Why does Blackie get all the treats? And that white dog will start to resent me and the black dog. Sure, he'll begin simple enough. He'll jump up and down and whimper to be noticed. And if I don't notice him, he'll get a little more aggressive. He'll start to growl at both me and the black dog. But I ignore him. He's a dog, after all. He has no feelings. Like Lo Bianco. Now, I need to love my black dog because of past wrongs done to it. Well, folks, I don't have to tell you what would happen next. That white dog would get angry, and justifiably so. He would eventually try to bite me and the black dog and try to kill us both. There it is, folks. Laid out as plain as day, the future of race relations in this country. Now, I could go on and on and on and on, but I think I've made my point. We'll be right back after this. You ain't gonna look tomorrow, hound dog. Cry it all the time. Well, you ain't never heard of rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high. Hey, folks. Rich Flimball here. My newest book will be in stores shortly, but if you listen closely, I'll tell you how to get it now. Now, you loved my book of essays, The Weight I Ought to Be, and my photo book, Pork, featuring nude photos of your favorite conservatives posed with pork products. Like, we showed it on the TV the other day, right, Lumbago? Like Barry Goldwater with bacon nipple rings. Now, it was very popular on the show. The audience responded, of course, very positively to it. Now, Rich Flimball Products presents the newest Rich Flimball opus, the Rich Flimball Gourmet Recipes for the Wealthy. It features easy how-to directions for some of my favorite foods, like baked meatloaf with lard sauce a la mode. Just the thought of it just gets me all choked up. Of course, the Bill Clinton turkey burger. It looks like the real thing, but it's a fake. Every recipe contains several choice political witticisms, like add a Ross Perot-sized banana. Or make sure the dough is the consistency of Ted Kennedy's facial tissue. Oh, the bagel, that kills me. Facial tissue. And every page ends with my advice for those kitchen disasters. Screw it, let's get some takeout. The special price for this is only $25 until it reaches stores. If you order now, you'll receive my 1994 calendar, Rich Flimball Chews Up the Year, featuring more recipes and photos of me eating the recipes. Order now for your favorite vegetarian or animal rights wacko. And we'll be back in a moment with more of your calls. Remember, that number is 974-2535. Once again, this is Rich Flimball coming to you from New York. The number is 974-2535. Now we have another caller. It's a Rebecca from Maryville. I knew that my female fans wouldn't let me down, particularly when I mentioned the fact that I'm not wearing pants at the studio tonight. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Rich.
Yes.
Well, hello, yes. Listen, I'm calling. My name's Rebecca. And I'm calling because usually I listen to you all the time, and I usually really like you a lot.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, and I'm sure I'd really like you, too.
You really like me, too, probably, but the reason I'm calling is because I'm a little disturbed about something that you said this evening.
Yes.
Yes, I'm disturbed with what you were saying.
You're disturbed? Let me see if I've got this straight. You're disturbed with something that I said during the broadcast.
I'm disturbed with something you said in the broadcast. I'm disturbed with what you said about women in the workplace not being harassed. Because recently,
that was in the it was in the workplace, not the wet place, Rebecca.
I said the workplace. Get the cotton out of your ears, mister, please. And I said in the workplace because just recently I've had to quit my job at a local barbecue restaurant that will remain nameless because of sexual harassment.
Speaking of barbecue, you know, I love barbecue. I wonder if would you run out and get some barbecue?
Because they're trying to evade my question.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Rebecca.
It's going to make me really angry.
No, Rebecca.
Yes?
I would not want to make any of my fans angry.
Excuse me?
Yes, excuse me.
What I was saying, if I could finish, please.
Yes. Oh, please. You were talking about barbecue.
But recently,
is there a good place to get barbecue in this area?
I have been sexually harassed.
Yes.
And I can't. It makes me very angry that you would act like that doesn't happen because it does happen. I was the person who had to split the cheese on the barbecue sandwiches, and this guy that worked with us, his name is Trevor. And Trevor, every day, he was the head fry guy. He would try and reach over me and accidentally, as he would say, he would rub his elbow against my breast. That was harassment, mister.
Now, let me try to put this in a different perspective for you, Rebecca. Let me try and put it in a different perspective. Perhaps what was happening was in the process of squirting the cheese, you were causing the fellow worker, who obviously will remain nameless, I believe you referred to him as the head fry guy?
He was the head fry guy at the restaurant, that's correct.
Right, so he was in charge of the fries.
Yes.
Now, as you would squirt your cheese, perhaps this was sending a message to the fry guy.
I don't think so, because before that, I thought about that, but I don't think so, and that's the problem with sexual harassment, is that everyone tries to make it seem like it's someone in the fault. And I wasn't doing that sexy or anything. I was just squirting it.
Well,
but before I was even squirting the cheese, I was running
Rebecca,
and he would ask me questions like, where is the
Rebecca, I just need to cut you off here for a half a second. See, Rebecca, I think there's a basic problem here. Is you're approaching me at this point right at now as if this was some sort of Sally Jesse Raphael show where you're going to share your abuse problems and I'm going to respond to them. Now, what I would rather find out is, Rebecca, do you think you mentioned barbecue earlier? And you know, once I get food on the mind.
No, what I want to
it's
know.
It's hard to, but what I want to know is, would perhaps you and I, maybe you and I, could get together and talk about this this barbecue? We could have barbecue, and maybe you could bring the cheese squirter along.
I don't think so. I don't think I would ever dine with someone who's like you, who would put my gender down. I don't even think I want to talk to you. My rhubarb pie is burning. I need to get off the phone.
Now, Rebecca.
Yes.
I certainly was not meaning to insult you. My goodness, I love women. I love them. I hold doors for them even when they get offended by it. I would hold the door for you. Why, I would even help you squirt that cheese. And not caress my arm against your protuberance.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get off the phone because if my boyfriend Harlan hears me talking to you, he will be so angry. He might even get on a plane and come to me.
So you do have a boyfriend. Well, it's good to know that you're not a lesbian.
I am not a lesbian, mister.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm going to go now.
Thank you very much,
Goodbye,
Rebecca.
Mr. Flemball.
And that's right. Well, that was quite a call. That was quite an exciting call. And we're going to, this is exciting. It's time for a gaze in the military update.
Kind of feeling, but the feeling of relief. We feel hungry as the wolf felt when he met Red Riding Hood.
What don't we feel?
We don't feel good.
Lots of things in life.
Once again, that's FIB, the Flatulence in Broadcasting Hall in the middle of New York City. And that number is 974-2535.
There is nothing like a day.
Lumbago, what is going on? Folks, I'm sitting here in the studio without my pants on, and Lumbago is having a party in here, I think. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I guess he's running out for some more barbecue. As I said, it's time for the gaze in the military update. He's at it again, folks. Now, I told you people months ago this issue was going to haunt this administration. Well, here it is. President Bill Rodham Clinton, in consultation with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has agreed to a compromise on the gays in the military issue. The agreement will be, don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. Once again, that's don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. Well, folks, President Slick Willie believes, quote, this is the best proposal for this society at this time. Maybe someday we'll have a country where one's personal merits outweigh one's sexual orientation. Don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. Well, you realize what this means, don't you, folks? It means no longer will homosexuals be prosecuted by military court or booted out of the military. It means our sons and daughters might be living, eating, bathing, and fighting next to homosexual soldiers. But they won't know, because no one is allowed to ask or tell. So that means, let me just clarify for you, that means your son could be in the shower, soaping up his lean, muscular body, and he could look around at all the other men soaping themselves and wonder, which ones are gay? He won't know who to feel uncomfortable around. He won't know who to stare at suspiciously, wondering if the private marching behind him is keeping his mind on the mission or checking out your son's rear end. If our military is called into action and your son is in a foxhole, he won't know if the soldier next to him is wondering where the enemy is going to come from or when the best opportunity will be to try to molest your son. That's right. Now, I, Rich Flembaugh, have no, personally, I have no problems with homosexuals in society. Why, some of my members of my staff are gay. No, lumbago, I'm not. Oh, you should have just seen the look on lumbago's face. Where's Barbie? Anyway, I assure you that I have no problems with homosexuals in society. Now, well, all right. Lumbago just stepped out of the studio for a second. I think another round of barbecue got here. The truth is, I think that lumbago is a rump ranger. And I have the pictures to prove it. Boy, he works for me cheap, too. Anyway, sorry to out you there, lumbago. Oh, lumbago's back. Boy, is he steaming mad. Oh, come on. So anyway, as I was saying, I really have no problems with homosexuals in society. As I was mentioning, many of my staff members are gay, but they all agree with me. And I assure you, they agree with me that the military is entitled to certain privileges that we in civilian society are not. And one of those privileges is the freedom from serving with gays. That's right. Now, Barney, that big damn purple dinosaur. Barney Frank, an openly homosexual member of Congress, proclaims, "This is a tragedy for the pursuit of civil rights of all people. We have decided the best course of action is to separate a portion of society and tell them to be untrue to their identities." Representative Frank, of course, is upset that platoon bunkhouses are not about to become pickup joints. Well, what is that? It sounds like Lumbago's calling a psychiatrist. Lumbago, are you calling your analyst over there? He's on the phone. Anyway, we all have to be untrue about our identities. Now, I don't come on this show and tell you my sexual peculiarities, whether that's homosexuality, like lumbago, or rubbing sour cream and butter all over my stomach and genitals and having one woman lick it off while another woman next to the bed yells, "Ditto head, ditto head." No, I keep these things to myself because I want you to think of me as Rich Flembaugh, icon, star, and eloquent speaker, not Rich Flembaugh, human baked potato. So, gays will be in the military. Yeah, I see our military effectiveness disintegrating. Limp wrists cannot pull M16 triggers. What is that, lumbago? Oh, I think he's a little mad now. Well, once again, that phone number is 974-2535. That was the Gays in the Military update, and this is the Flatulence in Broadcasting Hole in the middle of New York City. And it's the Rich Flembaugh Show. The Rich Flembaugh Show. I think I got a little barbecue caught in my throat.
Or as kind as Santa Claus.
It's a waste of time to worry over things that they have not.
Be thankful for
the things they got.
There is nothing you can name that is a name, and nothing looks like a dame. There are no drinks like a dame, and nothing thinks like a dame. Nothing acts like a dame.
This is the Flatulence and Broadcasting Hall in the middle of New York City. It's the Rich Flimball Show, and the number to call is 974-2535. That's 974-2535. And we're looking to get a few more callers in. Now, it's time for a Floods in the Midwest update.
Singing in the rain, yes, singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase
everyone from the place. Hey, La Big on the singer. I'm a smile on my face. I'm singing without pants on.
With a happy refrain. Just singing.
Singing in the rain. Singing in the Midwest. Well, it seems the waters of the Mississippi, Missouri, and tributary rivers continue to wash over towns and roads, wiping out businesses and farms in its destructive path. President Rodham Clinton has already promised $2.5 million in aid in the form of disaster relief and low-interest loans. At the recent flood summit, governors from 8 states proclaimed that was not enough money and that they needed grants, not loans, to protect their small farmers. Here, once again, is liberalism gone crazy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but farmers are businessmen, are they not? Now, they accept a certain amount of risk in pursuing their careers, do they not? And the free enterprise is about risk and failure and reward, is it not? Now, if I run a snowplow business in Florida, I should expect a certain amount of failure, am I right? Well, if these small family farmers had stopped heeding the call of farming legacy and the over-romanticized vision of the pure American farmer and sold out to corporate farms who can suffer the loss without whining to the government for help and who, of course, pass the profits on to the consumer, we wouldn't have this problem. But here we go again, attempting to bail out a dying industry with our tax dollars. Be vigilant, folks. Be on the lookout. Clinton's got to get the money from somewhere, and it might as well be your back pocket. Now, he says he's not going to take it from taxes, but look out for the space station or defense spending. The farmers are in an uproar that they are only going to get 21 cents on the dollar for their crops. But I'll bet you, folks, if the farmer is gay, black, or female, they'll get more. Now, we're doing the right thing, people, you and me. We have moved to the cities and suburbs and don't really give a damn about where we get the wheat for our Hostess Twinkies as long as those Twinkies are on the shelves when we go shopping. And speaking of Twinkies there, Lumbago, finished off the barbecue. I could use a little dessert. You want to run out and get a couple boxes of Twinkies? Damn, I love those things. I know. A few of you environmentalist wackos are crying, Rich, if it hadn't been for the levee systems and overdevelopment along the rivers, destroying wetlands, none of this would have happened. Well, if my aunt had, oh, never mind. If we would have paved the whole upper Mississippi into a big parking lot for New York City, none of this would have happened. And
Environmentalist wackos are upset that they might have to spend a little extra for bean sprouts and organically grown yellow bell peppers. Well, let them go to Safeway like me. Well, that's our Floods in the Midwest update. Singing in the Midwest, there goes my house down the river. Where are those Twinkies? Oh, we have a call. We have a call coming in. Now, once again, this is the Flatulence and Broadcasting Hall in the middle of New York City, and it's the Rich Flembaugh Show. We have a call coming in from Carol. Is it Carol? Carol from Knoxville. Now, that would be in Tennessee. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Flembaugh.
Yes, yes. Hello, Carol. What can I do for you?
Mr. Flembaugh, you seem to be fixated on pork, and I think that there's
I love pork. I love a good pork sandwich.
I think that there's a correlation here, because I think you're a fathead.
Fathead, fathead. Well, you know, actually, I do wear a 7 5/8 inch hat.
It really figures.
That's pretty big, don't you think, Carol?
It's just too bad that your brain probably isn't large enough to fit.
Carol, if I can just suggest something here. Now, you do know what they say about men with big heads, don't you?
No, Rich, why don't you?
Big hats!
You are truly.
You don't find that offensive, do you, Carol?
Man, I find you offensive.
You find me offensive.
Can you sleep at night? Do you realize what you incite people to do and to think?
Now, Carol. First off, let me answer these questions one at a time. No, I don't sleep at night. I am up all hours of the day and night, reading newspapers, fooling through magazines, doing the best I can to supply you with the information you need to go through life. Because there's no one else who's telling the truth out there but Rich Flembaugh.
You say that none of us have the mental capacity to make our own choices.
Now, Carol, I'm sure you're a nice little gal, and I'm sure that you have more than enough mental capacity to handle some of the information we're talking about on the show.
To handle the information. Rich, I don't know.
You don't know? Well, that seems to be the problem, and that's what I'm here for. You people don't know, and I do know. Carol, have you read my book? The Weight I Ought to Be. Have you read the book?
No, Rich, I haven't.
Well, you know, we were on the New York Times bestseller list. In fact, I think we're back on it again. I think we're number one. You really ought to pick it up and have a read. You do read, Carol, don't you?
Yes, Rich, I read quite a bit.
Good.
I choose my reading material a little more carefully, though.
Uh-huh.
My time is very precious.
Precious time, yes.
Precious time, yes.
So what is your question here, Carol? See, normally the way this works, let me explain this to you and the other folks who might not understand. See, when you call into the show, you're generally calling in to ask a question to which I will most intelligently respond.
I asked if you slept at night.
Yes. Well, no, I don't. I answered that question. I believe I answered that question.
You did answer the question, but you asked me why I called, intimating that I did not have a question to ask, and I did ask a question.
So that was the question, then. Do I sleep at night? That was the question. Boy, it's a good thing I studied up this morning, because I don't know if I'd have been able to answer that one. Do I sleep at night? Wouldn't you like to talk a little bit about the flooding in the Midwest, perhaps?
Well, perhaps your attitude toward it. I mean, do you realize that if the farmers, if the floods just flood everything, do you know what our produce prices
are? Yeah. Look, I'd really love to hear a little more of this liberal, namby-pamby flood water talk. But I want to thank you for calling, Carol, and keep listening to the show, because obviously you're fascinated by it. We're going to wrap it up. Bye.
Good night, Mr. Flembaugh.
Now, let's see. We're here at the Flatulence in Broadcasting Hall in the middle of New York City. It's been the Rich Flembaugh Show. Thanks for joining us tonight, folks. Do we have those Twinkies yet? Lumbago? I'll ask for a box of... No. I want a box of Twinkies.
Listening to Radio Free Theater. Tonight, we presented the Rich Flemball Show, featuring Mark Kreter as Rich Flemball. The Rich Flemball Show was written by Lee Papa. Join us again next week when Bill Bowles presents the history of musicals. And then after that, we feature two new produced in the studio plays. We have Kurt Rohde's Delaney's Pond and Joe Andriano's Lucid Dreamers. Thanks very much, and join us again here next week.